Let us run with endurance the race that is set before us, looking to Jesus, the founder and perfecter of our faith. Deep in every human heart is a conscience, a sense of right and wrong that we cannot shake off. When our conscience is clear, we have freedom. When we violate it, we're in bondage. Today, a series begins to help us clean up our lives and our consciences. Stay tuned. From the Moody Church in Chicago, this is Running to Win with Dr. Erwin Lutzer, whose clear teaching helps us make it across the finish line. Now, Erwin Lutzer begins a 10-part series on the power of a clear conscience. First, let's look at what it's like to be living in the shadows.
The title of this series of messages is entitled The Power of a Clear Conscience. And this first message is entitled Living in the Shadows, but it could also be entitled Out of the Shadows. It was Shakespeare in Hamlet who said that conscience makes cowards of us all. And isn't that true? Don't care your background, doesn't matter what religion you're brought up in, what tradition, whether an atheistic home or otherwise religious home. I can tell you this, that you have at times violated your conscience, which sits in judgment of all of our actions and says, ha ha, you have violated what you know to be the truth. We can be assured of that. Now, the word conscience comes from two words, con, which means with, and then science, which means knowledge. It is knowledge along with us. It is knowledge that we carry with us. And today we're going to look at the origin of conscience and its implications. Now, there are a couple of things you should know about conscience. First of all, it is universal. Everyone has a conscience. In Romans chapter 2, the Apostle Paul says that the pagans who do not have the law are going to be judged by their conscience, which is either going to accuse them or excuse them. Because the conscience is the rudimentary law of God written on every human heart. Now, of course, conscience can also be determined. It can be, what shall we say, conditioned. The Apostle Paul talks about some Christians who have conscience that they can't do something, and other Christians may have a conscience that they can. And conditioning is part of the conscience. For example, if you were brought up in Islam and then converted to Christianity, you might feel some guilt for not attending prayers in a mosque. At least at some point, your conscience might trouble you. I was brought up in a very strict Christian home where we were not allowed to go to movies at all. Now, of course, movies were just in their infancy when I was young and growing up. But I'll never forget the first time I ever was in a theater. It was many years ago to see The Sound of Music. And that dates me a little bit, doesn't it? I expected the theater to kind of collapse on me. I expected the judgment of God. Well, judgment didn't come, and since that time, Rebecca and I, we do go to movies about, I would think, maybe one a year, if one a year. But the point is that conscience can, to some extent, be conditioned. Now, I need to remind you that conscience has tremendous power. It can destroy you. It can haunt you. It can be there day and night. The problem is that conscience, to begin with, does not trouble you before you do an action. It remains silent. But after you have done it, especially in the night, there it is, haunting you, reminding you. It puts you to bed at night and it awakens you in the morning. I know of a man whom I have become friends with, a man of God, whose mother was put into a psych ward of a hospital when he was growing up. She was frequently in a psych ward. It turned out that when he was 22, she confessed to him that the man whom he thought was his father was not his father at all. His father was actually a doctor in the community with whom she had had an affair. Now you can imagine what this did to this young man. Whole questions of identity. And by the way, today he is mightily used of the Lord and holds ministries of revival in different churches. Proof of the fact today, my friend, that your origin does not hinder you for who you are if you take advantage of the marvelous, incredible grace of God. Aren't you glad for that? But after his mother confessed, she didn't have to go to the psych ward anymore. I remember reading a doctor who said that I could dismiss half of my patients if I could just look them in the eye and give the assurance to them that they are forgiven. Today, we're going to talk about this, and this is what this series of messages will be about. Tremendous power. There is a man who is a wonderful Christian, married a lovely wife, lovely children. He's asked to be an elder in his church. This is not Moody Church. This is in a church in a different state. And he always said no. He always said no. Why? You know, you're gifted. You know the Bible. The truth is, he confessed to his pastor that when he was in college, he had an affair with a young woman, and there's a little boy growing up in Dallas who is his. His wife doesn't know it. His children don't know it. And always haunted by the fact of what he did in the past. He is stuck whenever he wants to make progress in the Christian life. Later on in this series of messages, we're going to talk about things like that. We're going to talk about reconciliation. What are the principles by which we can be reconciled? Because my goal is that all of us will have a clear conscience without offense before God and before man. Could you imagine what Moody Church would be like if that were true? If we could look everyone in the eye knowing that we have done all we possibly can to make things right, this series of messages is going to deal with the question even of whether or not Lady Macbeth had to commit suicide because of all the guilt that she had. Young people today are committing suicide, and today, in the future, in these messages, we will tell them where to park their guilt and why it's not necessary. We're going to deal with impossible people. There are those who harden their conscience. Some of them live with you. Some people here today have married impossible people. How do you live with an impossible person who does evil and has no twinge of guilt? Well, all that by way of introduction. And by the way, the end result is going to be joy and gladness. I was reading in the book of Acts the other day where it says the early church had joy and gladness. You cannot have joy unless your conscience is free. You cannot believe God for the things you want to believe him for unless your conscience is free. The Bible says, if our hearts condemn us not, then we have confidence toward God. If you're here today with a condemning heart, you can believe, but not with a lot of confidence toward God. I want Moody Church to be a safe place. That's why we have various communities, various opportunities where you can share your need, where you can share your heart, where you can even share your past and know that you will not be shamed. You are going to be helped. Because the truth is, my friend, as someone has said, we are either in denial or we are in recovery. All of us have issues with the conscience. Well, that's the intro. Take your Bibles and turn to where the conscience began, namely Genesis chapter 3. Genesis chapter 3. You know, of course, the story that Adam and Eve are here in the garden. And they have a perfect environment. Can you imagine? They have all of the beauty that they want. They have all of the food that they want. They have fellowship with God who comes walking with them in the cool of the day. Eve had no insecurities. She didn't have to compete with the supermodels that are on newsstands as we check them out, as we check out the groceries at the checkout counter. She didn't have to lie awake at night wondering whether or not she had really married the right man. She didn't have those problems. And yet for all of that, she and her husband decided to sin, as you well know. And we're going to go right to the decision that they made. In chapter 3, the serpent comes to them. He gets them to doubt God's word. And they have this dialogue, and I assume that you know about the dialogue. But the serpent said to the woman in chapter 3, verse 4, "You will not surely die. For God knows that when you eat of it," that is the forbidden fruit, "your eyes will be opened and you will be like God, knowing good and evil." The implication is that you're going to know good and evil, and you're going to make your own decisions as to what is good and what is evil, because you are going to take the place of God. What he said to Eve was, "Feel, don't think. Don't you see that the fruit is beautiful?" And sin always comes to us looking very beautiful. And so what she did is she partook of the tree, and her husband was there standing in the garden with her and let her do it. I've often thought that the first sin might not have been Eve actually eating the fruit of the tree. It might have been Adam abdicating his responsibility as her husband to watch her do it and participate with her in their disobedience. Well, you know the rest of the story. Suddenly they experience what we could call the unexpected, the unplanned response of circumstances, the unintended consequences. All of that happened. And of course, we know that they could not predict what those circumstances would be. When God said, "Don't eat of the fruit of the tree, for in the day that you eat thereof, you shall surely die," they had no experience of death. So they said to themselves, we can handle the consequences. It won't be that bad. Furthermore, if we don't eat of the fruit of the tree, we're always going to wonder what it would have been like if we had.
Well, friends, today this is Pastor Lutzer, and we have begun a very important series of messages. I know that I frequently say that each series is very important, and it is. But can you imagine a series entitled The Power of a Clear Conscience? We're going to be dealing with issues of guilt and restoration, matters that oftentimes hold Christians back as they run the race of life. So as we begin the series, I hope that you pick up the telephone and you call people next door, call your friends, and tell them to listen, because together we are making a difference, and it is our intention, my intention certainly, that as a result of this series of messages, those who listen will walk in new obedience and life.
Dr. Erwin Lutzer, introducing Living in the Shadows, the first in a 10-part series on the power of a clear conscience. Next time on Running to Win, how the lies of Satan continue today. Your support makes Running to Win possible. And to say thanks for your gift of any amount, we'd like to send you Dr. Lutzer's life-changing book, The Power of a Clear Conscience. Just call us at 1-800-215-5001. That's 1-800-215-5001. Online, go to offerrtw.com. That's offerrtw.com. Or write to Running to Win, Moody Church, 1635 North LaSalle Boulevard, Chicago, Illinois, 60614. For Dr. Erwin Lutzer, this is Dave McAllister. Running to Win is a ministry of the Moody Church.